As you know, this begins God between now and the day of Pentecost. We have the announcement of Jesus coming. We have his birth, of course, and then his manifestation to the Gentiles, you know, to the whole world, followed by his time in the desert, followed by his death, then his resurrection, then the period of time after his resurrection to the time of his ascension, those 40 days, and then another 10 days waiting for the Spirit to come. All of that is how God reveals himself to us. And we receive that, and we want to be in that position. And then we start the season after that, the last half of the year, of us responding to that revelation. So that it all begins again today, and we remember it. And what is important in remembering is that when we remember the things that God has done and how he is revealing himself, that's his tap on our shoulder saying, remember this. He's speaking to us in that memory. And in that memory, the content of it becomes powerful and immediate and active in our lives. Just as we remember his death and resurrection at the table every week, the memory of that becomes active and powerful within us each time we come, each time we call it to mind, because that's Jesus calling it to our mind. Very, very significant. And today what I want to do is begin for the Advent season, the four Sundays of Advent, see what it is to wait upon the Lord so that we can receive what he's telling us. We can be ready to hear it, what he's revealing to us. So today I want to look at the practice of waiting, and then in the weeks to come, the next 3 weeks, I want to look at the peace of waiting, the purpose of waiting, and the promise of waiting. I'll remind you of those three things. But they do all begin with P, which may make it easier to remember. But today it's the practice, actually two practices of waiting on the Lord. And one of the things that reminds me of is something that one of my friends, a man by the name of David Manuel, did. Now, David was an author as well as an editor and publisher. One of the books he wrote back in the late 70s was a book called The Light and the Glory, a history of the colonial period of the United States. And he did some other things. He was president or some such thing of Logos Publishing, did an awful lot of those renewal books that you may have read during that period. And he continued to be an author throughout his life, died just a few years ago. One of the things that he did as a young author was this. He had a contract for a book, and he was sending in the assignments and what he was writing. And one day he's writing, trying to get this assignment done, trying to meet the deadline, and he has this just wonderful idea, this scene, that's just incredible. Has nothing to do with the assignment that he had or the deadline he had to meet, but this scene. So he writes the scene, sends it in, and the response he gets back is, you know, it's a wonderful scene, but it has nothing to do with what we asked you to do. So it was, they said, put that aside. Do what we asked you to do. So he did, kind of, despondent, but he got to it and wrote it down and became an author, throughout the rest of his life. And I thought, now that's very interesting. And what's very interesting about that is I often do that. I mean, I don't have a book deal or anything like that, or I don't have an assignment or a deadline, I don't send it in. But I will hear something from God and then do something that I like. Maybe you do that. Maybe most of the time. Maybe I do that most of the time. Maybe I think that's what God is actually there for. To bless me doing what I like instead of doing what he asked me to do. Do you follow what I'm talking about? Good, excellent. That's because we all do it. We just all do it all the time. And what I want to do today is to begin unpacking what it is to wait on the Lord. And there's two ways of waiting. And one is listening, just passively sitting there or standing there or whatever you do, and see what God is telling you. And then the second way of waiting on the Lord is active. And that active way of waiting on the Lord is as if you were working in a restaurant and you were the waiter. And waiting on the people at the tables means that you serve them. You bring them what they ask for. And so there is a service to God, which is waiting on God by doing what God asks you to do. It may have nothing at all to do with what you asked God to take care of, but it is God asking you to do some things. That's what both of those are, waiting on the Lord. And it is waiting on the Lord that gives you the power, the ability, the position to follow Jesus. Which is what we're here for. That's what we signed up to do. That's what happens. When you were baptized and somebody made the sign of the cross on your forehead, you were branded. The mark of ownership was branded on your forehead. Okay, is everybody okay? All right, good. All right, well, let's dive into what it is to listen to the Lord and how that operates and what that's about. Because that puts you in the position to be in His kingdom. Now, the first thing I think to remember about His kingdom is this. The kingdom of God is now and not yet. It's here, but not quite. It's around, but not always. In this period, in this time, the church era, if you will. The time between the resurrection of Jesus and the return of Jesus, the kingdom comes and goes like the waves of the ocean. Sometimes the kingdom is extremely powerful and overwhelming, and you can barely stand, if you can, in the presence of the kingdom. And other times it seems as if the presence of God is just far away and maybe never touched the earth before. Jesus had that experience as He walked the earth. We do all the time. It's one of the reasons why when you pray for healing, on some occasions it comes immediately, and on other occasions, nothing. It's the presence of the kingdom just coming and going, coming and going. Now keep that in mind. So just as an aside, this is for free. It doesn't have anything much to do with what I'm teaching you about. That's one of the reasons that it is always God's will that there be healing. But one of the reasons why it doesn't happen. It is never God's will that somebody not be healed. Ever. Never. It is always God's will. It is that the presence of the kingdom in this era comes and goes. The power of the kingdom comes and goes. We just don't know which, what it is, whether it's all in or all out. But what we're to do is to pray for healing or the other signs of the kingdom. It's God's will to restore the fullness of the kingdom. But it doesn't come yet. It's not fully yet. It's now, but not yet. Everybody okay? Let me give you one more example of that so that it'll stick with you. Many of you know the history of World War II quite well, and you will recall that D-Day was June 6th, 1942, and VE Day was May 18th, was it? 1943. In between D-Day and VE Day, even though on D-Day, the Axis powers knew they were defeated. They fought and fought and fought, and it was the highest number of casualties throughout the whole war during that period. But it wasn't until VE Day that it was complete. At the resurrection of Jesus, the powers of evil, the satanic powers, whatever you want to call them, knew they were defeated. But it's not until the return of Jesus that it will be complete. And they will fight and fight and fight until that time. The power of the kingdom will come and go in this period. That's what it is. So one thing that you could not do, you know, I want to encourage you to not do, is don't be thinking that if somebody's not healed, that that was God's will. It's God's will that they're not healed. Otherwise, they shouldn't go to their doctor and ask to be healed. They're asking their doctor to go against God's will. You don't want to do that. It is God's will. It's just the way that it is. And we'll unpack more of that later as we go along. It's an important aspect of the kingdom of God for you and I to hear, to wait on the presence of God. God's self-revelation. What God primarily does is he announces that he's taking over. The gospel, the word gospel, is in Greek it means a political announcement. The announcement that a king is coming to take over this city or country or the whole world or the universe, for our case, is a political announcement, I'm coming to take over. It's one of the reasons Herod didn't like the whole idea when it was announced there was a gospel of Jesus coming forward. So we have that idea. We understand what it is. The gospel is announced. And what we do is we stand in the place to hear what the one who will rule the entire universe has to say to us. That is a very different position than us telling the one who will rule the whole universe, you know, I really need you to do this. Now, God doesn't mind that, but all I want to point out is this. For me to tell God, God, I really need you to do this, I'm not listening to God. I'm talking to God, but I'm not listening to God. Do you see how that works? You've probably had relationships like that. Maybe people have told you, hey, you're not listening to me. And it's because you keep talking and talking and talking. And or the other one keeps talking at you, or whatever the case may be. If I am always telling God, God, this is my problem, this is what I need you to do, this is what's bothering me, this is what I can't handle, this is what is going on in my life, these are the things that have to be taken care of by you. If I'm all that, I'm never receiving. Now, please don't go home and say, John told us not to ask God anything. Because I'm not saying that. I'm saying if the only thing you do is tell God what you need, you're not in the position to listen. There needs to be times in our life when we are listening to God no matter what else is going on. That's why sometimes when I ask some of you, well, what did God tell you about that? And your answer is, well, I think I need this. I look at you like, what? Or as we say in Philadelphia, what's up with that? No, what's God telling you? Not what do you want to tell God? Makes a world of difference, absolute world of difference. And what will happen is that underneath what you need and what's going on with you is things will change in, if you will, the foundation. So that what you need is now standing, resting on a more solid place. And maybe it won't be taken care of in the timetable that you desire, but it will be taken care of in a manner that builds you up and has you become more like Jesus. Very powerful, very important. It is the basic, foundational, primary discipline of the Christian life. to hear what God is saying, since He is a God who is revealing Himself to us all the time. And we take half the year to remember the specific things He's revealing to us. It points to the basic Christian way of life, is listening to Him. Now, there's all kinds of Christian ideas that we could have, all kinds of Christian things we'd like to do, all kinds of Christian products we might like to buy. Doesn't mean that we're engaging in the primary, foundational, most basic practice of the Christian life. See, what I am as a Christian is a follower of Jesus and not a consumer of Christian-related products. If I'm a consumer of Christian-related products, I may not be a follower of Jesus, possibly. But if I am a follower of Jesus, then I will, from time to time, be a consumer of Christian products. Okay, think about that. Let me move on a little bit to the active waiting, where you're serving God, where you're like the waiter, and you're getting to the place where you're thinking, yeah, this is great. Okay, I think I'm catching what God is talking about. I think I see what God is telling me. By the way, it doesn't mean that you get knocked off your horse if you're ever on a horse, or like Paul, or that there's some kind of overwhelming thing that happens to you, and that's the voice of God, or the heavens open, or whatever it may be. Now, if that happens, you know, that's probably God talking to you. But a lot of times it's going to be a memory. And you start observing that, you start thinking, wow, why that memory right now? What's that? Or a thought comes out of the blue. Well, the blue's name is Jesus. It comes right there. All those kinds of things. Just kind of pay attention to that. And you take it in. So you're listening, you're gaining that ability, that discipline to do that. And then you start waiting on Him, serving Him. And you may feel that God wants you to do something that has absolutely nothing to do with the list of things you would like for Him to take care of. Did that ever happen to anybody? Say, God, I've got all these. God, you wouldn't believe what's happening in my life. And you got to take care of this. And then you get this prompting to do something else, something different, something completely unrelated. So my suggestion as your pastor is this. Do the thing that's unrelated. And that would be waiting on God. That would be the practice of waiting. Now, you can also pursue the things that you need. Absolutely fine. In fact, I recommend that also. Take care of what you need to take care of. But if you have the tap on the shoulder that God wants you to do something that seems unrelated to anything that's on your list, there is a purpose for that, that God has brought that to you. There's something God has for you. There's a breakthrough of some sort that Jesus is having for you. And you go ahead and do that, and you still might be in a lot of pain, and you still might be completely brokenhearted, and you still might have some kind of situation in your life that you just can't handle. And if you turn aside from that and do this that God asks you to do that is unrelated to it, you'll be afraid that all that will even get worse. It might. But we follow Jesus. And when He taps you on the shoulder and you begin to catch, do this, those are the steps that you take. Now, the reason for that is not because you're just blindly following some God who's going to be hard on you for no reason. It's this. All the things that are on your list, things you need to take care of, the things that are causing you trouble, making you feel awful, whatever it is, all those things, that's connected to our desire to have a full life. You know, if those things were taken care of, our lives would be full. If I didn't have to worry about this or that or this person or whatever's going over here, I would have a full, rich life. It'd be much better. And God knows that. And there is within us a drive to have that fullness of life. In fact, most translations of the Bible call that an abundant life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, is what Jesus says. And we desire that. We're created for that. And then what we try to do is get it on our own. And we get into situations or things happen to us that we can't control that make us feel as if we're not having a full life. So sometimes we choose to escape. And, you know, if you're a fan of reality TV, Lost, you know, whatever show you watch, any kind of reality TV, that's what that is playing towards and aimed towards, is your desire for a full life, where you can vicariously live that full life out with the characters who are going through the great, amazing race or whatever it is, or So You Thought You Could Dance, or The Voice, or any of that. That's connected to your desire for a full life. And you get a little bit further with that, but then it's unsatisfying after a while. Or you may really despair about that if you get into a situation where there's this recurring argument or difficulty with somebody. It just keeps coming up again and again and again. And you start thinking, oh, how am I ever going to get out of this? That's connected to your desire for a full life, a rich, full, meaningful life. All kinds of things are connected to that. When Jesus comes along, taps you on the shoulder, brings something up, and you get the impression from Jesus to do something that seems unconnected with what's bothering you about not having a full life, you will begin to be on the path to break through to where you do have a fuller life. Because when He speaks to you, He is creating something in your soul that wasn't there before. When he asks you to do something, He is expanding the capacity that you have to get through this life and to respond to Him and to walk in the presence of the King. He's doing something in you that you cannot do by yourself to get the full life that you want. He is beginning to form you more into what you were created to be. And part of the wonderful thing of the Christian faith is coming to the realization, I cannot get to the fullness of what I was created to be on my own. I need the Spirit of God to do it. And there just comes those occasions where I put aside what I think is needed to get to be who I was created to be and follow what Jesus asked me to do that. The short-term theological term for that is crucifixion. You die to yourself, your list of, if I could only fix this person, if I could only get out of this, if this pain would stop, if I had this straightened out, if my family was not the way they were, whatever it might be. If I put that down, which takes dying to myself long enough to catch what Jesus is telling me and then follow what He asks, I will come through to another place. That's what it is to wait on the Lord. That's the practice of waiting on the Lord. And it's just crucifying. I don't know how else to say it. It's just crucifying to do that. But there's always the resurrection on the other side of it. I prefer not to be crucified. I prefer to go directly to the resurrection. But I don't know how to do that. In fact, I kind of don't think you can. It also doesn't mean if I take the steps that Jesus wants me to take that I'll be pain-free. Doesn't mean that either. It'll still hurt. The thing that hurt me over here on my list that I want taken care of, if I put that down, die to it, and come and follow Jesus, it'll still hurt over here. I'll still be wounded and bleeding. But He will be with me, bringing me to another place where I will be able to follow Him to what He has prepared and become more of what I was created to be. And that will bring the healing that I need. See, it's always following Him. And it's always adopting the practices that help me follow Him. No matter what you're doing, the question is always, how do I do this as a person who follows Him? Think of any situation you're in at all. And the question is, how do I live through that as a person who follows Him? If you would do that, wait passively, if you will, listening to Him, and then wait actively serving Him, or to use the familiar questions to most of us, what's God telling you? What does God want you to do? You'll be practicing the basic, primary, foundational Christian life. Please stand. Lord Jesus, we love Your grace. And we ask for Your ability to stand on it and to do what You desire and follow after You all the days of our life. Amen.